Oh, Suparna, it's so nice to have you with us.
Hi, good evening, Vince. Thanks for having me on.
What was it?
It was an exciting moment.
I was just about to ask, what was it like to get up there and to read that Robert Frost poem, The Road Not Taken, right there at the inauguration of the new governor of Virginia?
You know, I was so honored to be the face of all the mama bears and papa bears, all the parents. I was just so honored that Governor Youngkin had asked one of us to have a seat at the table and to be part of the ceremony. It was exciting.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a great story. You arrived in the United States in 1992. You immigrated from India, and here you are, an immigrant to the United States, fighting as hard as anyone here in the country for us to live up to the promises of liberty. You know, what has it been like, this experience for you?
It has been, you know, a revelation. You know, everyone wants to come to the United States because it's a beacon of hope. It's a beacon of, you know, you can do well, economic opportunities. And America welcomed me with open arms, and it's been amazing here. I came here for higher studies, and then I worked. And, you know, it's only when my kids went to school here in Fairfax County Public Schools that I started to see the biases in the supplemental reading that they were asked to do, the, you know, things here and there injected by teachers or principals. So, and then what I learned was that really parents must pay attention. We need to speak up for our children. So it's been a revelation.
Yeah, I mean, go more into more detail on that. You discover that there are some things that are being exposed to your kids, and you're wondering, what are they doing? It must feel like it's subversive, like they're trying to inject ideals that you don't recognize inside of the educational materials. And that's when you begin speaking out.
Right. So, you know, my kids went to elementary school here in Fairfax County, and you know, just a few examples I would give you. For example, you know, they were asked to read Time for Kids supplemental reading, and when we read those supplemental, they would bring them back. They would bring them home, and it was a lot of the material was, you know, idealizing some of the some of the political figures of that time, and they were invariably from the left, or idolizing government agencies, or controversial topics, but they were never presented with both views, point of views. And so we said that our children are not reading the supplemental material. We're going to give them our own books to read, or we consistently opted our children out of these, what they call FLE, family life education, where, you know, if the parent is active and has time really to go to the library or wherever they display it before, the sex education, I consistently opted my children out of it. And they were one of the very few, if not the only one, to sit in the library and do some other reading. So, and then when they went on to middle school, and there were all these mental health education, which we didn't want them, you know, to be part of, all these seeds being planted in the minds of our youths and our innocent children, high school, and it's been crazy.
Yeah, no, there's no question. And so as we were approaching the 2021 elections and in Virginia, you began to see parents really start to get organized. And it wasn't just around Election Day. It was about confronting the school boards, and in particular places like Fairfax County and Loudoun County. What was it like to see that energy manifest itself in some real meaningful victories here? There has definitely been some real incredible progress made by these parents like yourself.
Yes. June 7th, 2020, when we got an email from Ann Bonitatibus, the principal of TJ High School for
Thomas
Science
Jefferson.
And Technology.
Yes.
That's right. Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology, talking to the mainly minority schools, asking us to think of privileges that we hold that others may not, and you know, talking about how TJ does not reflect the racial composition in SCPS, that, you know, essentially she, the superintendent, the school board, everyone wanted to remake the racial composition of TJ.
You were asked to assess what privilege your race confers upon you?
Yes. And, you know, so to come from India to the United States and, you know, and to be told that, hey, hang on, your child is in TJ, so you're privileged somehow. I have worked hard all my life. My parents have worked hard. My dad was a refugee in India during the war when the, you know, the independent, when India got independence. And we have suffered the effects of colonialism in India. But to parents like us, there are their parents from Vietnam, from China, from Korea, to tell parents essentially that we need to check our privilege just because our children somehow, through the dint of their hard work, are in TJ, was an incredibly arrogant message from the principal. But she was just mirroring everyone else, all the other school officials and the school board members.
Yeah. Also, like, the circumstances of your birth are not supposed to dictate your place in society. And you probably recognize that more than most people, having been an Indian immigrant. I mean, we don't have caste systems here. It's not, you know, each person has self-worth given to them by God. And yet we have school systems here who are trying to tell people that, no, your destiny is entirely wrapped up in your skin color. That's awful.
It is amazing. No, you're right. There shouldn't be a caste system here. But it seems like there is a hierarchy. From the more I read about news the last few years I've been reading, and it almost feels like there's a hierarchy or a totem pole where certain skin colors or certain ethnicities value more, are more equal than the others. And it's amazing to be told that, you know, you worked hard to get admitted at a school, but guess what? You're just not the demographic that we want in the school. Mm-hmm. That is a type of caste system.
Yeah, and that's been on display as some of the parents right there in Fairfax County have obtained some messages that demonstrate the school board members were actively contemplating race. They said that there was an anti-Asian sentiment behind the scenes. They were admitting there was an anti-Asian sentiment involved in trying to change the composition of Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology, which I should remind the audience, the number one high school in the entire country, according to U.S. News and World Report. Fairfax County was dissatisfied with that standing. So they decided to change the admissions process because they wanted to racially meddle with the school. Awful. And so it activates parents like yourself. And that all leads up to this election season that we just went through. So Terry McAuliffe is out there campaigning against the parents, campaigning alongside members of the teachers' unions at the national level. And Glenn Youngkin seems to realize at some point in his candidacy, you know who I should really be talking to? It's the parents. What did you think of his candidacy? It kind of felt like it was about halfway through that Glenn Youngkin realized that he needs to pay attention to you, Suparna, and other parents like you.
I think it was pretty early on. I think right after he won the primary that we reached out to. Actually, we reached out across the aisle. And really, in our struggle, you know, when I say we, I said the Coalition for TJ, reached out to, we've been writing emails, we've been writing letters, picking up the phone, reaching out to everyone, reached out to Terry McAuliffe. You know, this was even before he won the primary.
Right.
And his advisors or handlers said, you know, okay, if we could give him $20,000 for an hour on Zoom, on the other hand, what Mr. Youngkin, Governor Youngkin said, yes, I want to meet you. And when he met us without preconditions. And he didn't give us a speech there. He had a tiny speech, and the rest of it was like a town hall where he asked parents what they wanted and listened to us. And that was amazing, astounding. What politician does that?
Wait, Terry McAuliffe said that the only circumstances that he would meet with parents in Northern Virginia was if they paid $20,000 per hour to have a chat with him over Zoom.
To our organization, he said, and I'm not sure if it was him or his handlers at that point
Well, it's his
who
campaign.
advised.
It's his campaign, so
Yeah.
he would be the leader of that campaign and therefore responsible for the behavior of the members of his campaign. So his offer was that he would meet with you and your organization as long as you donated $20,000 to his campaign, and you would get just an hour of his time over a video chat.
Yeah, and I need to double check. It was either 20 or $25,000. Yeah, for 1 hour on Zoom.
Well, that's disgraceful. And of course, the reason behind that is because he didn't want to talk to you at all. That's really the explanation for that. And once he's got your money, then he can, if you were to ever do something as crazy as to donate to Terry McAuliffe, then he could just use it to further exploit you. It's really, really grotesque. So it must have been with some great satisfaction that you spoke at this inauguration this past weekend.
Yes, absolutely. I believe that by honoring a parent to be there at the swearing-in ceremony, he gave us a seat at the table. And he took a very brave stand. He against the multi-million-dollar special interests of teachers' unions, and he said that yes, parents do matter. Parents should have a voice in determining what is taught in schools. So that is how what I took. And it was a very special poem, very special to him, for a road that he took. And I also want to just give a shout out to my mom, who turned 77 today. It was a special poem to her. She's back in India. She was an English teacher. She would teach this to also poem to her to the students in school. So, hi, Ma.
Well, happy birthday, Mom. Suparna Dutta, thank you so much. Glenn Youngkin, he delivered here, but he's got a lot more delivering to do. And I know that you'll keep holding him accountable. You're one of the people that he made a promise to, and now is his obligation to hold to that commitment. Suparna Dutta, thank you. Really appreciate your time this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Vince.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.